I'm speaking today with a seasoned global tech executive, entrepreneur, Wall Street Journal best-selling author, and chronic pain warrior, Albie Schoenfelter. Welcome.
Hey, thank you, Stefan. I really appreciate you having me on today.
It's my pleasure. I want to know about you. I mean, you are that seasoned global tech executive. You're a lifelong entrepreneur. You have a passion for building businesses, exploring emerging technologies, diving deep into the future of quantum computing and physics. And I could talk to you all day about that, but that's not why we're here. And I just,
No.
the audience is thinking, what? Wow, we want to hear all about that. We want to talk about your book, Be Strong, Be Well, Be Kind, the battle-proven path to reclaim your life from chronic pain, illness, and other conditions. But
Yes.
before we get into that, I want to know about you, because having the past that you have, the tech executive, the entrepreneurial passions, this driving need to dive into the future of quantum computing, physics, all of these things, these aspects, you're a golfer, for crying out loud, all of
Yeah.
these things. Something happened to you, something changed all of that and made you the author that you are, the social warrior that you are. Tell me about that. Take me through the beginning of all of this.
Oh yeah. So, I was actually at that time I was very busy and I couldn't control my schedule. And so I had a birthday, and I always like to take my birthday off. I thought that was, something for all the people that worked for me over the years that was really important to really celebrate yourself. Unfortunately, I couldn't. So the day after, I got a little treat and I got to go out and play golf. And I was walking off the golf course and the whole side of my face started to burn. And I really, golf courses are beautiful, but the reality is there's lots of chemicals involved and a lot of maintenance. And so I thought maybe, somehow I got it on my hand, I got it on my face. So I scrubbed and scrubbed and scrubbed in the clubhouse, and nothing helped. Sped off to the doctors. Weeks later, we get the diagnosis, the news that it is this lifelong, incurable, super unpleasant condition called trigeminal neuralgia. And it deals with the nerve of the eye, cheek, and teeth. It's kind of like if you have a cavity and you suddenly get something cold, like some ice cream, and it just triggers that it got stuck on. And so, being the driven, passionate person that I am, I wanted to really fight back. And I went at it pretty hard, and we just did one procedure after another. And these were brain surgeries where you had to kind of go through the back of my head.
Oh my goodness.
I have a plate there now. They drilled out a golf ball size hole. That kind of left me incapacitated to the point where I had trouble. I just couldn't keep up at that kind of Silicon Valley pace, the high tech world. Things were flying, I was crawling. So, I kind of had to step away from all that. And then during that, unfortunately, it left me, I had to relearn to walk. I had to relearn to talk. I still have neuromuscular problems all over my body, but really on the right side, it's really hard for me to control it consistently. And I kept saying that I didn't feel well, and maybe I should have advocated more, but unfortunately, it was prostate cancer.
Oh.
And it spread across my entire skeleton. So out of the gate, there I am, like, oh my gosh, how did I get to stage four? What happened to stage one and two? Like,
Yeah.
maybe three, but here we are at late stage, and I was crushed, getting the news. And I just, kind of really thought about it. And I'd been working on this this text for a while. I have hundreds of pages of notes, and I, having some brain damage, I would pick them up from time to time and be like, this is really good. Who wrote this? And then I was like, oh no, I wrote that. Like, so even for myself, I was like, it'd be really great to have some sort of kind of operations manual or some kind of reference manual to be able to go back over and over. And then as I went through it, I found this like consistent, I started coaching people and helping people because that's what I could do. And the more I did that, the more challenges I could deal with. And I found that there was kind of like a set path that kind of we all kind of go down until things become chronic. And then, and then what to do after that. And so that's kind of the battle-proven path. And unfortunately, in the chronic pain support groups and now in the late stage cancer group, we lose a lot of people. And I really truly believe that they lose hope. And so the number one thing that I could say to you and your viewers and listeners would be, if you don't have the hope today, that's okay. We'll hold it for you. But the hope is there. So keep going. If it's completely, utterly dark, we'll shine a light for you and help you get down the path
Right.
to transition into your new life and try and live well around everything that's happening.
Right. So, just to that point, I know, I mean, I'm have a personal experience with a form of chronic pain, and part of my issue has always been this sense of isolation, of being alone with this, and that, you kind of suffer in silence and you kind of feel like it's your fault, and there's a number of different weird psychological aspects to this. And I'm taking from the words that you have and what I have read so far from what you've written, that the important message for everyone is you're not alone.
Oh,
You're
yeah.
suffering through something. Yes, it's unique to you, but you are not alone in pain. There are others that are going through the same or worse or similar. And that it's not your fault. Even if you did something foolish when you were young, or if you had an accident and the police blamed your driving or whatever. It isn't a fault-based thing. Pain is an expression of your body's way of saying, this hurts. This is not right for me. And not to blame oneself, not to carry around a burden of that, but simply to express, I am in pain and I have to deal with it. And I'm taking that's sort of what you're dealing with.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think to expand on that a bit would be, it is isolating. You feel like you're all alone, but the reality is, even with something like TN that is 0.05% of the world, there are it's a weird phrase, but thank God for technology. So we have the technology to be able to connect from far away. And so I've been able to find people that have that. And it's like, wow, we're not alone. But the mental struggles, the physical parts are unpleasant. And I really moved away from using the word pain and instead saying intense, unpleasant sensation. And that really, these little shifts in your own vocabulary to yourself just are huge. It really, can open all sorts of doors for you to become and transition to something that you never really thought you could, despite all your challenges. Blaming yourself, the why me, I should have done this, I could have, would have, should have. I mean, we could play that game, for years, and we would never have an answer. It's kind of like anxiety. Its best friend is obscurity, and it doesn't want you to define it and be specific because that's the way it works. It's just going to fill in the gap with something else, and once you kind of learn about this a little more and you increase your awareness of not just your body, but your emotions and, your sensations, and you kind of get this fuller picture, you can say, okay, whoa, my anxiety is through the roof. And it is not going to calm down. So maybe instead of trying to fight it, maybe I should just go do something different, like go outside and feed the birds. Or, for me, I found this adaptive disabled golf community, and it's insanely uplifting. It is so inspirational. I mean, people, love to hear my story, but I go out there and I play with people that are paralyzed and have to use a buggy, and they're going around playing practically perfect golf. Without able to use their legs, or they have no legs and they
Right.
have two, prosthetics, or they have one leg or one arm. It's just really amazing and inspiring. And I think a lot of that, the one thing that illness, anxiety, all the negative emotions doesn't like is resilience. And so, the old, fall down seven times, get up eight, but just doing more of getting out and doing something, I really, it can be so isolating. One thing that I did was I joined a Friday coffee group where I would just, no matter what, get up and go have coffee with people from the neighborhood and talk about whatever. And that really helped me. And from that, I said, well, you know, I have all these skills from my career, and I spent a lot of time in recovery, where I can't really physically do a lot, but my, you know, that's when your mind really, your brain goes crazy. So, I became the public safety officer of my neighborhood, and
Wow.
I served for 4 or 5 years until really, we kind of got things to the point where they are today, where I can actually pretty, it functioned really at a high level. And so now we're really, we released the book, and not to toot my own horn, but I actually used the book as a playbook. And last year, we found a tennis ball sized tumor. The prostate tumor had grown a buddy in the bladder. And so over the last 16 months, I had surgery to have it removed. Then I had radiation. Then I had chemotherapy. They had to cut the port out because the port got infected. So I got a big old hole there. And then I just finished immunotherapy. So, you know, it's been quite a ride. But during that, I used the book and I kept making it better. And all the people I continued to work with despite this, and then poured it all back in, and we were able to launch it. And it became a bestseller in itself. So,
Awesome.
yeah. And really, you know, we've helped over 1,000 people just with the book. In the last couple months, which to me is you know, just makes my heart explode.
Well, I
So
mean, the fact that you took the book that was your guidepost to get you through this latest round of cancer treatment and refine it, because you were reading through it and going, you know what? Actually, this would make it better. This would work better. This other people would relate to better, because I know you've got your own personal stories in there. It's not just a textbook. It's not just a
oh yeah.
guidebook, step by step, but it's also relatable stories so that people can, as I said before, not feel alone. They can read it and go, hey, I've gone through just something like that. I get this guy. I know what's going on here. And for you to be able to take and go, you know what? It was my book. This is my new book, and then launch it out. So when did it launch? What was the actual launch date?
Well, the book launched this summer, but before we get into that, I did want to back up because, you know, when I got the late stage diagnosis with cancer, I really, it was devastating. And, you know, I stayed in that victim mindset, poor me mentality, you know, oh, you know, I could have done this for a few weeks. And that's when, you know, I felt like God and the universe were giving me a chance to make it better, to help even more people. And so the book came out this summer. We did a soft launch over the summer while I was finishing treatments, and then publicly available to everyone in late August. And it continues to just be overwhelmingly successful, which is a weird way to phrase it. But yeah,
Well,
I've had.
it's a good thing, because you're talking about dealing with pain and working through pain and getting past it. Don't let it get a hold of you. And you're the experience. You're the spokesmodel, so to speak, for the book. And for you to have launched that out, people hear that or see it, and people from watching this show will actually, or listening to the show, will say, "Hey, a book on dealing with pain. I can deal with that," because more and more of us, you know, as we age or as we get,
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, other kinds of injuries, will experience it and are, like I said, sort of in a solitude of how do we deal with this? But having a guidepost, having something that we can review and go, you know what? This actually makes sense for me too. I am so glad that it came out. I wish it had come out earlier, because I've been dealing with this for years, but
Oh, well, hopefully, you know, and you know, I have to go at my pace, because, you know, I am a dad, I'm a husband. You know, I have a 100-year-old house outside DC. So there's a lot of competing. You know, I'm a brother. So there's lots of roles. But there's a lot of more resources coming. You know, we're working on the audio version now, trying to create classes around, you know, the framework of going down the path and how to deal with all the different steps through that. A 4-week program to raise awareness around yourself and kind of like your place in the world, and then an ongoing, you know, I wrote a dashboard. So this is a concept where, like, let's take you on a little trip here. So you are a pilot, and you're sitting down in the cockpit, and you look out, and you have 15 gauges, Now these gauges, to make it really simple, we're going to stoplight it. So it's red is bad, yellow you're starting to get in danger, and then green is good to go. But we found, like, working with so many people that had lifelong problems, that these 15 things really made a difference and moved the needle towards living better. It's not going to fix anything, but just
Right.
living better around everything.
So
And
that's your
that's
living
the
on
real
the
goal.
dashboard. Yeah, that's
Yeah.
your
And
living on the dashboard. Yeah.
so if you can monitor these 15 gauges, and then we put dials underneath. So if I know, maybe I had a little too much coffee, that maybe I should switch to water and keep hydrating and, get back on track. Or, I had a rough night. There was a bunch of noises during the night. I couldn't get back to sleep. Anxiety got me, or whatever. Then I know today I'm gonna have to take a few extra pauses, which I call smart breaks, because I'm kind of a dummy if I don't take them, because then everything is worse. But it is amazing. There's a something called spoon theory, where, this originated. She had a lifelong chronic disease, and trying to explain it to her friends, where you wake up and you have a finite amount of energy. And as you go through the day, say you had 10 spoons and you got up and you went to work, or, this happened or that happened, that's 3 spoons. Now you only have 7, and your day really hasn't even started. So you start going through this. I just really couldn't buy into the fact that it was finite. And so I really wanted to understand, like, how could I create more energy? Like, if you plug in your phone, it'll recharge. So these little recharge breaks are so powerful before you go all the way off the rails, or your day just is out of control. You hit that pause button, you take a break. If a bunch of these dials go into the red, unfortunately, like a big one, with a lot of chronic conditions, is weather. And there's really not much doctors can do about this.
Of
But,
course.
if you pay attention to the weather patterns, a big storm's coming, and there's lots of turbulence up in the atmosphere, maybe we could slow it down today a little bit, and, do fewer things. What are really your priorities? Do those.
Yeah.
There's lots of stuff I can waste time on, but, like, what are the 3 things? Like this, like doing this today and preparing. Like, this was, the most important thing I wanted to do, and make sure that, for you and the audience, that we, deliver something meaningful and impactful that actually has a direct positive impact on their lives. And so everything, if this is the only thing I do today, fantastic. That's great.
It's fantastic for us, for sure. It's
Oh, yeah.
fantastic for us. Thank you.
Yeah.
I do have one question because you brought up that you are a husband and a father and a brother, as you pointed out. Now, I experienced myself, as I said, pain, chronic pain, it has a personal impact. It is draining sometimes. It
Oh.
is, it, you sort of feel like it is defining you on certain days and some weeks, and sometimes it's months. It's like, this is my life. I am pain. But there are people extraneous to yourself that are close. Now, even the ones that aren't, people that you work with, but I'm talking just the intimate family, your wife, your children, your extended family, brothers, sisters, parents, if they're still around. Pain impacts them too. Your pain impacts them. Tell me about
Absolutely.
how yours has impacted them and what you've done to sort of get them engaged in it in a more positive way. Because I know from personal experience, sometimes you get a negative reaction to it. You'll either get the, oh,
Oh,
suck it up,
absolutely.
princess, you can get through this and all that kind of stuff, which makes you feel bad about having it because you should be doing what they're doing. So tell me
Or
for
to
you.
add on to that would be, are you better? Well, no, but I did laugh today. And then you feel guilty for not being better. And that's the nature of something chronic, is that you get to the point where it just becomes your new normal. This is life now. And so in pain especially, it's so loud. And it is very disruptive to your relationships, and I mean, it totally ripped my track, my life, everything, the path that we were on, it ripped it away. And when someone comes and knocks down that big wall, you can rebuild it, but it is one brick at a time, one stone. And that's what's key. I mean, there is no one in my circle even broad circle that hasn't been impacted by all this.
Right.
One thing I will say is that you'll be surprised. The people, and it's nothing against them. A lot of them, they don't have the capacity or they're too full. But people that you really think are going to be there and you expect them to be there and you want them to be there may not be there. And then people that you never expected to come out of the woodwork, people that I knew 35, 40 longer years ago come out of the woodwork, and they are the most helpful people to help you get through the darkest times. And so, don't obsess about that. You need to become an expert of letting go. And still, I think part of my desire to understand different technologies and really understand the future, part of this is that a lot of this is so powerful. We need to have a lot of good people understanding it also, and to be able to outnumber the number of bad people. And if we can put more love in the world, there'll be less hate. It's that kind of model. But yeah, this is it's been quite a journey, and to be honest, like nothing. I used to be a one man kind of lone wolf, travel around the world, make all sorts of things happen, and now everything is team based. I mean, everything, even this coming here today. It took all of us to kind of get on the same page and help me be prepared, such that we could, do something meaningful. But yeah, it takes the village. Indeed, it's a community. And so all I would say is that, yeah, the tendency is to self-isolate, but keep trying to put yourself back out there, even if it's going out and going for a walk in your neighborhood, sitting on a bench outside instead of like maybe in your backyard, maybe you sit out front. I don't know, but like, anything that kind of exposes you to some sort of social interaction. And it's just not people. I found that it's really healing to interact with non-human life too. So you have your pets, animals, birds, everything around you, and then also plants. So I think there's a balance. I think if you could do some of both, get those dials back towards green, that's what we want, those gauges, going back into the green so that, you can do things. Because the reality is no matter how much we want every single day to be perfect, there are curveballs coming at you every day. And so if you can just realize that, hey, curveballs are going to happen every day, I'm the only one that can control how I respond to it, maybe that's where I should focus. And that comes all the way back to, oh my gosh, I'm having this horrible flare. I'm having spasms and I'm having trouble control things. I can't stop that. But what I can do is react to how I react to that happening. And that's really where the gold is. And that goes back thousands and thousands of years. It's old wisdom. So it's hard to learn. But, if you keep trying day after day, I peg my resiliency practice to the sun coming up in the east. So I say, if the sun comes up in the east, we'll get up and we'll try and try again. And, if the sun doesn't come up in the east, even behind the clouds, we have bigger problems. So, there's a lot of mornings where I'm cursing that. But, if the sun came up, then I get up, So even behind the clouds, you get on that airplane and the plane gets up above the clouds. All of a sudden, it's sunny. The sun's up there beaming. It doesn't care what's happening down here. You had a bad day, or someone cut you off, or you spilled your coffee, or what have you. It's up there beaming down, doing its thing. And so, be like that.
So in your book, you're talking about a powerful daily mantra for
Oh
you.
yeah.
What is the mantra that you have for yourself? Now, I'm assuming that it's not the same for everyone, that you develop your mantra for yourself.
No, yeah. I mean, I would encourage everyone to, take mine, use it if you want, right? That's, I'll put it out there. I say it all the time. And mine is all, I think as humans, the more simple we can make it, the power of three is really strong. So if you can come up with three things, for me, it's, be strong. And growing up in the era that I did, it was very frowned upon to show, anything that was wrong with you, any pain, anything hurt. That was all weakness, you know. So I think, saying, you got to grind through, and this is a big problem today. You got to work 16 hours a day. You got to, that's how we end up with these lifelong health problems. So being strong is, being able to take that pause when you don't want to. So be strong is the number one. And, being physically strong, if you can do anything, I mean, yoga, a little bit of light weight work, anything full body movement, will help you be strong when you're weak. And that sounds weird, but it's such a great feeling when you go and you're just feeling absolutely horrible, and then you do something, you're like, oh, I'm kind of strong, despite, everything else that's happening. So, that's number one. So the three B's. So, and I really latched on to this kind of like forward looking of, who you want to be and how do you want to be in the world. And so that's what this really boils down to. And so, I keep telling myself and telling everyone, like, be strong, but also, be strong in other ways that, aren't traditional and conventional. And then be well. I don't know a single person. I mean, the human experience, you touched on it. Our minds and bodies are going to break down over time. There's one way that we finish up our work here in this world. And so, along the way, like, we all could do one little thing every single day, just a tiny thing, a tiny improvement to make ourselves a little bit more well. Even if you got the French fries with your sandwich, maybe you don't need them all, right? Don't eat the whole bag of chips, or, start eating more vegetables, right? That I really latched onto that. I spent a year and a half only doing food as medicine, to help the cancer treatments, and I really think that made a huge difference. So, keep saying be well. So you're being strong, you're being well. So being more well, being more strong, and then be kind. And I don't mean just like, let someone help someone that may need a hand across the road. I mean to yourself. And this is probably the hardest work that you'll ever do, because it's just, the kind of way humans evolve. But if you can get in front of the mirror and smile for a few seconds and then become aware of what got said, were you nice to that person in the mirror? Was it pretty harsh? Did you have like some, a lot of feedback for that person on what has happened, how they are? Like, it's the old, you can't give to others what you don't have for yourself. If your cup is empty, you can't fill someone else's. So you got to start with yourself. And nothing is harder than being kind to yourself and other people when you are going through something extremely painful. I mean, nerve pain is a special kind of hell. Anyone going through it, if they're irrational, if they're lashing out, they're, having outbursts, it's all part of the journey. And it's normal. But, at some point you got to take the initiative to start trying to be kind. And for me, I've gotten to the point where I do a lot of meditation, and a lot of spiritual work, to understand that my body's kind of a vessel, an instrument to experience the world, and I'm much more than just my body. And if you can kind of wrap yourself around that, these things can be extraneous. Like, oh, that's being really loud, but let me be peaceful, inside, even though this might be screaming, or the body is reacting in all sorts of different ways. But if you can find that peace, it is magical. But I get to the point where I won't even realize I'm having a flare and it's buzzing, and these super intense, horrible sensations are happening because I've spent 45 minutes just in stillness and, looking for higher energy and a collective spirit to help guide me. But then I notice that I'm not being kind to other people. And then I go, oh, wait a minute, I think something. And then I, boom, on the phone, there's a weather, lightning 15 miles away or something, like, oh, there's a storm coming. I'm having a lot of activity. I didn't even realize that this is happening to me. And that goes back to your awareness practice. So it's kind of, they're all kind of intertwined. And originally, they wanted me to write just about my story, but I was real adamant that it needed to be actionable content to help people. And when you are in the dark clouds and fog, it's really hard. So what I did was I went through and, I used color, which, from a cost perspective, isn't the smartest thing to do, but it makes it really simple for everyone. And it's littered with, it's probably not the right word, but it's full of text boxes of cautions and pro tips and little things. And I swear, like, I look at those every day and I'm like, yep, that's what I need to be doing. Or like, if I'm off track, thank yourself for noticing and then get back on track. But, maybe I'll look up for some strategies that could help me get through today, and do some good along the way. So.
That's an extremely constructive way of giving that kind of advice out. If it's buried within the text of almost novel-like writing, where it's your story, and then you come up with something like you did, I'm trying to come back to it, but it had something to do with the fact that that obscurity, the thing that's a friend of obscurity. I want to write.
Anxiety.
That's it. I want to write that down because there are so many people that have anxiety and they don't know what to do with it. Oh, I had another anxiety attack. It took me days to come out of it. I was just freaking out. That's because what you were thinking about doesn't real, it doesn't have any defined form. If you started to think about that thing in a constructive way, or think about something else that is very definitive that you can lock your mind into let's say a logical mode, the emotional impact of anxiety kind of walks away because it's got nothing to play with. And I
Right.
love the way you made that so simple. So simple.
Yeah.
You in your text, putting those boxes, those little hint things, these little pro tips here, by the way, you're feeling this, and people can go through the book and they can go, ah, that today, that's me, that's what I need. I need this little thing right here. Thank you so much. As opposed to going, where is it? It's in chapter three somewhere. And
Oh, yeah. And so anxiety is open-ended question, it hates definition. It hates res just like illness hates resiliency, and I have this, thing that I say over and over, and it's like you get knocked down, you get back up, you get knocked down, you get back up, you get knocked down, you might have to stay down. Uh-oh, you got kicked while you were down. You might have to stay down for a few days. You might have to stay down for a few months. And this is where you get into the dark side of depression, right? You become apathetic. You're just down. And I mean, there's just days with my face on the carpet, carpet muffs in my mouth, and just, can't bring myself to get up. But, at some point, get back up. And so it's okay to stay down. It's okay to like go through those dark things. It's all part of your journey. We can judge it, right, wrong, bad, good, but it's just part of your journey. So keep getting back up. Get kicked while you're down, that's okay. Stay down, but then get back up. And that, goes all the way back to the sunrise. So if you tie it to something else, then okay, we're gonna get up and try. So,
That's
yeah.
resilience. That's when you say that as well, that illness, that pain. I wouldn't say that their resilience is something that deals with that. It's more like they're enemies, because you'll find that pain and illness will knock you down, will attempt to drag you under, will grab you with hooks and pull. But resilience is that freight train that goes, no, we're going in this direction. We're going to get out of bed. We're going to go downstairs, because the sun rises every day. And it's not because somebody made it do that. It just does. And so
Yes.
resilience is that. If you go, the sun has gone up, I'm going to get up. Oh, but I heard, and I'm kind of feeling a little, no.
Oh, it's cold. Oh, everything hurts. I'm achy. I don't feel well. Yeah, all the thought engine is going bananas. And that's another super powerful thing is the start of your day. I get up early. I wasn't a morning person, so it was a little challenging, but now I actually get up before everyone. And I spend, and maybe it's selfish, but I spend a good 45 minutes by myself, getting my mind right before the day. And that's just huge. I use a, like a mini UV light, like a happy light, just at the start of every day. And it just floods your brain, think about things that bring you joy. What are you grateful for? You can't be grateful and anxious at the same time. So if you know that, what are you going to choose? You're not powerless, right? You might feel powerless, but you're not. And you have a choice. So maybe even though, everything's going haywire, I'm going to be like, wow, I'm really grateful for Stefan and his audience and having me on. Like, that's just being grateful. I'm grateful I can breathe. I'm grateful, I got up. It doesn't have to be complex. But, if you start looking for three things every morning, you're training, that discipline will train your brain to start to look for good things throughout the day, whether or not you want to or not. And that's where the magic happens, this concept of doing things, putting little tiny things throughout your day that actually lift you up, even if you don't want to, which,
That's sorry. I was going to say that that is, if you get into science, that's neuroplasticity. You're retraining
Oh,
the
absolutely.
brain to reward you for the positive things. Little positive things, you get a reward, as opposed to, your pain and you go, yeah, that's going to fire off again. It fires off again. And you go, oh, okay, I give myself a reward for recognizing the downward slide that I'm on. You're talking about building in the little tools, the little actions that reward the positive things. I'm really grateful for, being able to scratch my nose and it doesn't hurt. Yay, I feel
Oh,
happy.
yeah. Having a machine that makes me ice so I can always have a cold drink. Like,
There you
yeah, I
go.
mean, it's really the simple things that make the big difference. But it's hard in this fast-paced world, always on, to really slow down and take a breath and then see these things that are right in front of you. Because the world's going to continue to evolve and change. So it's what we can do. And if you spend a lot of time thinking about what you can't do, which most of us are, proactively starting to think about what you can do. And that was like, I can't write a book in 3 months. You see these kind of things, or like even a year. I mean, I've been working on this for almost 10 years, so it took me a long time. Now, the next project may not take that long, and I have tons of ideas, but I need to follow through on this, and there's a lot of goodness that we are going to deliver in the coming months around this. And actually, with the adaptive golf, like, I actually travel around the country playing in disabled golf tournaments. And that community is growing very fast. And so the way that I see the world now is that I will be able to get out and share the goodness of the three B's. Be strong, be well, and be kind. The book, classes, everything around it, with people, and see them in person. We'll do plenty online and so forth, but actually get out in the world also. And so, and if things go well, maybe global. Well, one thing at a time. We just got really good news yesterday that in the last 6 months, there's been no new growth, and we actually shrank it. So we killed a bunch of cells. And so, and I truly believe, if you hear the news and you roll over and you say this is the end, it'll be the end. But if you decide that, well, I think maybe I'm gonna try and I'm gonna go do things, then that mindset will enable you to do things that your brain and other brains can't even fathom. And I think that's where we need to guide people.
Absolutely. And that's fantastic news for you. I am so happy that you
Oh,
received that
thanks.
kind of positive news. Really,
Oh, yeah,
seriously?
you want to talk about anxiety. But yeah, the last 2 weeks leading up to that, and then they inject you with a therm like a nuclear liquid to light it all up, and how can this be good for you, and all of that. And then you wait, and sometimes it's not great news, but it's just information. So if you can just keep telling yourself as you lead up to these appointments, it's just because you're like, what is that? What's happening? And then they want you to describe it. You're like, I don't know what's happening. It's this thing. Like, I don't know. I can't describe it. And then everyone's hanging on your every word, or you describe it wrong, or you remember it later. So there's little things like, keep a little health journal to go to your appointments. Write all your notes. If you can start logging and identifying patterns and triggers, that's humongous. So the way I talked about the weather, this one was a little embarrassing, But if you always notice, like, I have a little stubble. And part of this was that with the sensitivity of the facial nerve, most people get triggered from shaving. That wasn't the problem with me. But then the next day, I would have just horrible flares. And I was like, what is happening? And when my son was young, he used to watch one of these shows that, like, how things work or something like that. And it showed an image of the hair growing through the skin. And for me, that was the trigger.
Oh
It
my
was when
goodness,
it
yeah.
grew. So now I just use a beard trimmer and I never have that trigger. Never. It's just gone. So, like, that just never happens anymore. So if you can kind of, like, learn, and that's, going back to your dashboard and the gauges and the dials, and learn these things that impact you individually with your chemistry as it is today, then, take some action. See if you can remove some of those.
But I mean, just the fact that you identified that most people, as you said, when they shave, that's a trigger. But I'm sure there are more people than just you that they shave. I don't notice anything when I shave, but the next day it's screaming and I don't know why. Is it a reaction? Am I burning? Is it something? And for you to identify, oh no, it's the hair coming back through the skin that's causing that sensation. I'm sure there were people that go, oh, that's it. You know, that huge
Absolutely.
light bulb goes off, and then they're running to their doctor. You know what it is? And then your easy solution, just use the beard trimmer. Leave a little stubble. So you have a little stubble. So what? If other people can't live with that, they look at you and go, oh, stubbly face there. I can't trust him anymore. That's their problem, not yours.
No. Absolutely. You can't control what goes on in their head, right?
Exactly. But I mean, as you say, if you're positive about it, you have a positive experience. Yeah, I know I get a little brush right there, but so what? I'm good with it because it means I don't have pain today. That, you know, that's a thousandfold. People see the smile, they see the light in your eye, and they go, that's not the nuclear chemistry shining through your eyes. That's happy. That's a good place.
Very much so.
How often do you use meditation, though? I know you've mentioned that you've used it from time to time, but do you use that as like the daily start to your day? You meditate, ground yourself, find that local, that core, and then open up and say, okay, I'm going to start my day. Do you use it when you have attacks where
I
you're
do.
experiencing pain and separate out from it?
I use different variations, and actually part of the recording is I'm actually going to record specific ones that kind of go along with the text. But yeah, there's to start the day, I really like to get inside my body, so to speak. So we talked a little bit about how the body's an instrument, and it's your mechanism to interface with the world. But a lot of times we just walk around and there's so much stiffness. We carry stress in all sorts of different, sometimes it's in my right thigh. But if you don't spend a few minutes trying to get grounded and kind of like go through your entire body, and I'm talking like, let's go in and feel your right pinky toe right now. And as you kind of move that up and down, your focus is there. And we kind of go through the entire body. And so if you have one area that is going bananas and super flaring and so loud, this is great because then you realize, like, or even if you're an amputee and you're missing a limb or multiple, you kind of go through and you say, whoa, there's a whole lot more of to me than just that. And that in itself is super grounding. So, in the 4 weeks that I put together to kind of like help you increase your awareness, I start with the body and then we move to the breath. Most start with the breath and then move to the body. But the breath is super powerful in itself. But I feel like if you aren't in your body, you're going to be elsewhere. And the world we live in with all that stress and tension, it's so important to find out where it is. And, so I do some grounding work, whether, so gratitude, meditation, some light body work, to really kind of get my whole body. And then, also, zoom in and zoom out. That's another great one where, like, okay, what is happening in the room I'm in? Whether it's a pet came in, or, a light is flickering. What am I hearing in this room? Then zoom out. Like, what am I hearing outside the room? And what am I hearing outside this building? What am I hearing? You know, what, let's think about like what's happening outside our town. You know, let's go, wait a minute, like our entire planet. And then zoom back in to like, okay, now I'm back in this room. And you know, that in itself can really be invigorating to your entire self. You know, not just your body or soul, but like your just entire being. And so, yeah, I use that and on my breaks, absolutely. You know, whether it's I'm a big fan of Jon Kabat-Zinn. I went through mindful-based stress reduction classes based on his teachings, and that really helped me. We had to modify a lot for people that have chronic conditions, especially. You know, kind of doing a fuller body or not able to kind of just sit there and do nothing, kind of making it a little more active and proactive. But yeah, meditation. And then, you know, that kind of leads to spirituality. I do a lot, you know, balancing my chakras, like, you know, so you getting these energy centers. Just realizing that they're in you and you don't do anything to them, but they can help guide you through your day or maybe where you're putting a little too much focus. Like, and especially, you know, we tend to think and think, and just our phones and everything will just, the screens everywhere will keep us glued and just our brain. But like, maybe we need to spend a little more time in our heart, you know, or do something creative, you know. Or go out and, you know, get grounded in the soil, you know, try and grow something. That's, you want to talk about patience, you know, there you go, right? Like, or like trying to tend it and keep it alive and, you know, trying to get it to flourish. I mean, that's, I couldn't imagine if you told me 10 years ago that this is what I would be doing. I would not believe you. But, you know, I wouldn't pick this path for anyone, but here we are. So why not use it, use the journey as a force for good in the world and help as many people as we can.
So you've just opened up one last door here, which is you didn't see yourself being here 10 years ago. 10 years ago,
Oh
you
no.
were on an entirely different path, and now you are here today. Where do you see yourself in the next 10 years? I know you have the 3D organization that's running amok. It's all over. You're planning it. You're looking at potential global implications, which
Oh
is
yeah.
phenomenal. And I have no doubt that it's going to get there because what you're dealing with is stuff that is global. And to limit it to North America seems a
Oh,
bit selfish. If it, I'm
oh
sure you
yeah.
understand what I mean. So where do you see yourself in 10 years? Where
Well,
is
that's a great
me
question.
in
You
10
know,
years?
if I listen to the wrong people, I won't be here. You know, being a stage four, you know, and this is I'll just take a minute. You know, the first person I spoke to said that I need to get my affairs in order and I only had a few months to live, which I thought was really odd because I didn't even ask. What I was asking was, what can we do? Not, you know, gloom and doom, like this is the end. So, you know, my strategy is going to be to stay alive, like live slow, you know, meaningful, impactful, and continue to expand. You know, if things go in the wrong direction and we have to hit pause like we did for 16 months, we'll do that. You know, so it's hard for me to say exactly where we're going to go. And it's hard to predict, you know, what the world will look like. But I will say, I will be continuing to put goodness into the world, you know, in any means that I can, whichever then. It, you know, along the way, I'm creating things that could still be here, even if I'm not here. And
Right,
that's really my goal.
legacy. Yeah, you're
Keep it.
talking.
Yeah, not just legacy, but like things that other people can take and make their own, and they go on and help more people. It doesn't need to be about me. It just needs to be about people helping people and lifting us all up together and pouring more love into the world. That's really, I think, what it comes down to. And you
That's
know.
extremely selfless. That's selfless and empowering and very positive, Albie. I guess the last thing on my mind, which is something that you just touched on, is about dreams. 10 years ago, I'm sure you had dreams, huge, way out there kind of things.
Oh, yeah.
Do the events of your life that have led you to here today, Do you find that your dreams have constricted to more focused things that you find more tangible? Like, I could do this next week, I can do this next month. Or do you find that your dreams are becoming more abstract? Like you say, give this away, and the people of the world are just going to take it and run with it on their own. And it doesn't have to be about me. That kind of a selfless dream of making the world kinder, better, and more loved. Which way has it
That,
gone for you?
yeah. To be honest, it's a bit of a mix. I think I try as much as I can to spend and put energy towards the latter, and creating things that are going to help people and do things. But then, you do need to bring it back to today and what's happening today and what can I accomplish or what is most important? Because otherwise you will just spend that time, and the time will be gone, which is fine also, but maybe we could use it for a little purpose. And did kind of leading towards a close, I would say as you go down the path, in dealing with grief, because you got to let go of your former self, accepting yourself as you are today. There's more than just acceptance. You gotta have acceptance with meaning and purpose. And when you have that, then you're ready to go help everybody else. And so you can accept it without meaning and purpose, and you may not heal. But if you continue to have purpose and, put your stuff to work, right? Maybe, yeah, we can judge it as horrible, this, that, the other. But maybe it's there because my purpose is to help everyone else not give up and to keep going forward, no matter what, how dark it is and how hopeless. And, like I said in the beginning, we'll hold that hope for you. And that's that no one has the right to take away your hope. So,
That's
if you hear
fantastic.
someone doing that, block it out,
You are a voice of resilience and kindness and hope in the dark, Albie. I am 100% certain that people will feel that way about you, and I hope that you continue this campaign and drive this forward. Where can people get your book?
Okay, right now, I have an exclusive thing with Amazon at the moment.
Okay.
So over the course of the next year, we're going to be looking to not only work with big box stores, that you can go in and see it in bulk or whatever, which is always great for the ego, and it's good for everybody because you reach more people. But also, in my heart, I really have a thing for small business and mom and pop bookshops. So I'm going to kind of flip this and we're going to enable all them. And that's where you can find me, or, reach out to me. It's I'm pretty easy to find. If you want me to come to your hometown or there's an event a few hours away or something, like I can organize something, come in and give a talk and, do a signing with the books or, what have you, or come speak to your organization or put together something custom, whichever. But yeah, that's the future.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I guess the last thing to ask would be, what's the next? Have you got another book in the pipeline? Have you got something else?
Oh yeah, so we're gonna have to keep that under wraps.
Oh, come on.
Even I was the worst author of the group when it came to you're supposed to be quiet during the soft launch. That's not my specialty. But yeah, I've got a whole list of ideas.
Okay.
And I write all the time. For me, it's very therapeutic. And I encourage everyone to just write. You can journal if you want, but just get things out of you and put it down on paper. But yeah, it's coming. I'm always going to do everything I can to support the adaptive golf community. So there could be something there. It could be another expansion on energy management for the chronically challenged. It could be more around the path. There's an infinite amount of items to expand on, but we're going to take it one day at a time. We need to make sure that we put this book to work in its fullest capacity, and the material in there. We put a lot into it, so let's make sure that it in itself is out there doing what it needs to do. So that's where we're going to focus for now.
Well, that's
So,
fantastic. And I
yeah.
hope that this interview gets to more people, that they hear about it and they reach out and then they tell their friends, because word of mouth is a huge driver for anything.
Yeah. Well, bless
I'm
you for doing
happy.
this.
Yeah, I'm
Yeah, I
happy that
really
I was
appreciate it.
playing a part in this, because the messages that you have put forward, everybody needs to hear. Everybody needs to hear, because it's, we all live this life in one
No,
way or
yeah.
another. We all live this life, and be able to have a means, a method, something that we can look to and say, this will help me and this would
Yeah.
help you. So
Yes.
you get a
Just a
chance.
little bit of light lights up darkness. It
Well,
doesn't need
exactly.
to be a big light. A little bit of light illuminates the dark. And so that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, no, fantastic. I would say you're more the lighthouse. You should probably use that as your logo, a lighthouse in some fashion that
Oh, I
you
like that. Yeah.
guiding
Yeah,
light.
yeah. That's fantastic. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, if you don't mind, I might just take that.
No, I do this.
Maybe
I
on
do
the
this
cover
in
of
my
the next
interviews.
book.
I'll come up with something. So please do. I don't mind, because that's how I feel that you are. You are a beacon, both of hope and to guide, right? So that people
Yeah.
don't crash on the rocks in despair. They actually have somebody who can walk them away from that. So I'm going to call you
Yeah,
my
and
lighthouse, Albie.
that's fantastic. I love it. Yeah, I appreciate it, Stefan. And be strong, be well, and be kind.
To you as well, Albie. Thank you very much for this. And I look forward to speaking to you again. Maybe an hour of just physics. We can talk
Oh yeah.
that.
That's yes. Yeah, there's a lot going on there. We'll leave that to unpack later.
Oh,
So.
exactly. Like I said, I could talk an entire day with you about that kind of stuff. That's in my head all the time. So having
Oh yeah.
somebody like-minded, that makes the conversation more interesting. But once again, thank you
Fantastic.
very much. And we will be in touch again. Thank you so much, Albie.
Okay. All right. Take care.
Bye for
All right.
now.
Bye, Stefan. Yeah.